This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game, but the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once single points are scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
How the ball bounces.
It's not round.
That's a wise man once said. It's not round. You don't know which way it's going to bounce.
Yeah.
It could bounce to the left, to the right. I mean, it's a, you know, it's a lemon-shaped object.
Sometimes it can just bounce right back up to you. It's a what?
It's a lemon-shaped object.
On 1340 WKGN.
Aren't lemons just like round?
Some.
With like a little tip on them sometimes,
well,
maybe?
I feel like when you see a lemon, a depiction of a lemon, like in a photo, like in a, you know, a graphic or something, it's shaped like a football. But when you actually buy a lemon in the store, it is just kind of round. But not all lemons. Some lemons are more, you know, they got more of a side to them. Some lemons have hips. Others are just circular.
What? Wait a minute. 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 What? Wait a minute.
Hour three kicking off in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Hour three headlines. What do you got for us, Draven?
Fair or foul? Start a little game here.
I'm going to say fair. I'm going fair. We'll see what it is.
You're going to go? That's your take before you hear it?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, I'm going to defend fair.
Okay. Tristan Thompson gets a fan tossed for making comments about the Kardashian family. Towards him.
Does it say what the comments are?
I have not seen any official quotes just yet.
I'm going to go with fair just simply because these fans are out of control. I mean, you're paying money to come watch these professionals. Just sit there, keep it in between the lines. Boo them. Chant
air
ball.
Soft.
Chant air ball. Talk about how LeBron's carried him his whole career. Do whatever you want
to
say.
There's a way to heckle without having to risk getting kicked out.
You ain't got
to
bring up his love life.
But what makes heckling so beautiful is when you find something that really gets under
no.
their skin. That's the whole point.
No,
that's
what makes heckling beautiful is when you're really good at heckling and you can heckle them to the point where it's not actually going to get you tossed out the game, but it's still getting in their head.
Say something.
There's that line.
Say something about his eyebrows. Don't talk about the mother of his children.
Yeah.
The mother of his children. Don't talk about them. Over the line. Fair.
You're so soft. I get not throwing beers, whatever. You know, we had that issue throwing stuff at players, saying, you know, inappropriate stuff. But come on. Some jokes about your ex.
The mother of his children.
Some joke about his ex.
The mother,
that's all it is.
The mother of his
child. Oh, yeah. Since Tristan was just such a nice guy, such an angel, that he has nobody should ever say anything to him about his marriage. How he treated it. No, he was a perfect husband. How dare they talk to him about him and his family? How dare they?
You wouldn't want people to
talk about your family. Since he was just the perfect husband, get out of here, man. I think when you commit adultery and everybody knows about it, you have the right. People have the right to make jokes at you.
They weren't married.
Were they not?
I don't think so.
Not officially?
I don't think Tristan and Chloe ever got married.
Who cares? It's the same thing. He cheated.
It's different.
He cheated.
It's different when you go before.
He cheated. Yeah, it is different. Everybody knew about it. It's a national scale. He's a celebrity. Yeah.
I'm saying
it's
different.
You're right.
It's different when you go before the Lord and take vows and cheat, okay? All right? It's different. I thought we had a rule about trash talking that family was off limits, no?
It's like an unwritten rule.
I thought we had a rule that family's off limits.
They're not even together.
Still family. Mother of his child.
He still got to see her.
The only time Carmelo was ready to fight is when KG told him that he bets Lala tastes like Honey Nut Cheerios. Carmelo was ready to kill him that time. Same thing.
I remember that.
You can't go after family. And you might even get it. You might even get it trash talk from players. You might have to let it slide from players, but not from fans. No, I'm not letting you talk about my family. No, thanks. Especially on the same weekend when, like, LeBron apparently had those people kicked out of Indiana because they were saying stuff about Bronny, hoping he dies in a car crash and crazy stuff like that.
Well, we don't know, by the way, what was officially
no,
said.
Sure,
that was
sure.
just the,
that's yeah. that. That was a reporter. That was the rumor. The reports.
don't know why you would say something like that. That's over the line. That's just, like, very inappropriate. This, like, yeah, people are going to crack jokes about the Kardashians. Tristan, you were in the news, in all the headlines and all over Twitter for how many months because of your relationship with the Kardashians?
Just got a family supposed
you
to
don't think he? You don't think he has people ever tweeting at him, ever commenting anything,
you know, he does,
making fun of him?
He probably does on the internet. He probably blocks them.
That's ridiculous.
Probably blocks them.
One little comment. One little comment.
You don't know if it was one little comment or if it happened a lot. You don't. If it was constant.
Ooh, these fans talking about my ex-girlfriend. Oh,
the mother,
no.
The mother. The
what
mother,
am I going to do?
The mother.
I'm talking about half my kid right now.
That's right. The mother of his kid.
That you cheated on all the time. Your relationship was a joke. And now the people want to make jokes. You can't take it.
Still get out of here. Still the mother of his
kid. Get out of here. That's soft.
Fair or foul?
That's fair.
That's
soft. You're soft.
We have breaking news.
What do we got, Hayden?
Daddy do the horn.
Just the horn. Please. The horns. No, you don't ask. Just what do you got?
Jahmyr Gibbs has officially put his name in the transfer portal. Just put an announcement out on Twitter. So maybe we'll be getting the Georgia Tech running back.
Is that?
That's pretty big. He came out 3 minutes ago.
I mean, I feel like we already knew he was in the transfer portal. I thought that was already a thing.
I just put this thing out here. So I've decided he's in the transfer portal.
Keep talking.
He's pretty good. I watched a video about him.
He's not. The only Georgia Tech game I watched was Clemson when both teams didn't score at all in that game.
I want to say he was leading the country in total yards.
Yeah, I think he was at one point this year.
I did see a quote tweet from your boy Ezekiel Elliott who said he's tough with the motivated blowing smoke out of his nose.
Zeke approves.
Then I don't want him. he's pretty solid. I was watching the game against Georgia, and he was the only guy that could do anything, really, for them.
I mean, he does a lot on special teams, too. I mean, 98-yard punt return touchdown is his first highlight when you go click on his, like, ESPN page. Accelerates past Miami defense for a 50-yard touchdown. Looks like he's got a couple long runs. I mean, he seems like a beast to me. And, again, like, Tennessee is going to have a hole at running back next year.
Huge need. Yep.
746 rushing yards on 143 attempts. It's 5 yards a carry. Long of 71. Added 35 catches for 465 yards. Long of 77. 589 yards on 23 kickoff returns. I don't know what that average comes out to. Hayden, do the quick math on that. 589 divided by 23. Including a 98-yard return. I mean, it seems like he's got – got some pretty good burst. I think he's good.
I think he's good too. I watched one of his.
I mean, he was a high 4-star, right?
Having a dominant running back so huge for this offense too.
Especially one with like big home run speed. I want to say he was a high 4-star, and I want to say he picked Georgia Tech over like Ohio State, right?
Not sure about that. Zach Evans is also in the transfer portal.
I was going to say, running back from TCU. I saw some people.
He's
a little crazy,
I think.
I think
he might be a little bit.
Off the field issues.
Oh, yeah.
Off the field issues, like in terms of just, I think he's just a head case. Not like he's like a criminal or anything.
Okay, I figure that's what you
I think the reports coming out of there is that he's headed to Kentucky, actually.
Oh, no. We have two back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. I'm pretty sure.
I mean, he's good. I mean, he's a 5-star, man. The early reports are that he is headed to Kentucky.
Well Draven, I think it was so bad that Georgia like didn't take him. That's like that gives you a little bit of a insight onto how crazy.
I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs was down to Ohio State, LSU, Florida, and Georgia Tech, and picked Georgia Tech.
The Atlanta guy,
Dalton apparently wanted to stay like in state or wanted to stay nearby. So like Dalton's basically, 2.5 hours, 2 hours away from Knoxville? Not even two, basically two hours.
Dalton.
So, I mean, you can still be home from there.
Yeah,
let's go.
Better offense. Seems like Tennessee's going to get him. At least that's what, some people at Georgia Tech have, speculated. So, it would be a big get, especially after, like we said, Tyon Evans hit the transfer portal.
Another big name is Spencer Rattler. How about it?
Bigger name than he has talent at this point.
No kidding. Went from Heisman NFL hopes to bench to now transferring. Do we think, still going to go to probably a Power 5 school, right? He's not stooped to a level where he's still desirable.
Even if it's a low-level one, I'm sure there's somebody that would take him.
I mean, he's still going to be one of the two. I mean, as of right now, with the quarterbacks we know in the portal, him and Dylan Gabriel, I would say they're probably neck and neck, right? I mean,
Gabriel get hurt? He got hurt again, right?
He got hurt again at the beginning of the year.
Who the hell would want that guy? He's been hurt.
Still really good, though.
Hurt like 2 or 3 years in a row, is it not? Had the serious injury.
I don't think he was. That wasn't McKenzie Milton with the serious injury.
Oh, okay. So he wasn't the one that. But he still had an injury last year, correct?
He got hurt last year at the beginning of the year for like UCF.
Right.
But like, yeah, I mean, he was. He's not the one that, you know, almost lost his leg. The guy's at Florida State. That was McKenzie Milton.
Yeah.
Gabriel is pretty damn good. I mean, last year, you know, threw for 3,500 yards, 32 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that Gabriel probably headed to Ole Miss.
Yep.
I would say if, like, Kiffin's there, like, they're going to get either Gabriel or Spencer Rattler. I'd say they're going to get one of those two guys.
That's Trey Wallace saying this weekend on when he came on VR that he's pretty sure that Gabriel was going to be going to Ole Miss from what he was hearing. So
I mean, that makes the most sense. Yeah. They're going to have a quarterback gone, and you've proven that your offense can.
And Gabriel really doesn't even fit in UCF's offense, to be honest.
No, he doesn't. I mean, he fits in Heupel's offense, and Heupel runs basically what Lebby runs at Ole Miss. And who knows? Maybe if Lebby was kind of mentioned for the Oklahoma job, I don't know if he's going to be actually able to get that job. But maybe Gabriel would end up at Oklahoma if Williams goes to USC and Spencer Rattler's gone.
Mm-hmm. And we were talking about kind of how we'd be surprised if Lane Kiffin wasn't at one of these big schools next year. And kind of the rumor is around Oxford, if Lane Kiffin left,
they'd probably just promote
they
Lebby,
would just
right?
promote Lebby and just like keep it rolling.
Yep. That would make the most sense.
We have a coaching job that's just been taken, but Washington's now closed.
So they went ahead and got DeBoer?
Yeah.
DeBoer, how do you say his name?
DeBoer, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. Is it Cowan or Kalen or something?
I mean,
Fresno State's been pretty decent, right, I guess?
They've been a solid program.
Their offense is fun.
If they made this hire, not less than 24 hours after USC hired Lincoln Riley, maybe we'd like it more. But it seems like that's not a good answer. Not saying he won't be successful, just saying that, like, different level in terms of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Fresno State, beat UCLA? Almost beat Oregon? They compete with these Pac-12 teams, so seems like a good decision there. Hayden, your boy, Serger, to the Mets. Yeah. What do we think? $130 million, 3-year deal?
Sad. It's sad to see him back in the NLEs. I was hoping he'd go somewhere else, but we get to see him 3 times in Washington this year.
How's that going
to
feel?
I don't know. The Mets will find some way to screw it up this year. I mean, he's 37 years old. Where the Nationals are right now, there was no way that he would be an asset to the team that would push us over to win the division or whatever when he's 37 and we're in a rebuild.
Don't make it about the Nationals. No one cares about the Nationals.
I'm just saying that's why we traded him.
It's wild that Serger's getting this much money at his age. He was still good last year, so he's already aged.
Second Cy Young.
He's already aged better than most power pitchers have. I mean, because he's 38 years old. I mean, 30. He's old.
Mm-hmm. He's 37, I think.
And again, he's already done more than most of these guys have. I mean, look at David Price, look at Chris Sale, just to name the last couple big big pitchers that have fallen off a cliff. It feels like it's coming at some point. For Scherzer, where his arm won't cooperate anymore, but it hasn't happened yet.
Especially pitching on short rest a lot in the playoffs, like he has the last few years.
It'll probably happen.
To the Mets.
Yeah.
It is wild, like you said, though, with Price and Sale. It's very rare for a pitcher to get a big deal after their age 30 season or a long-term deal. So now this is the second big deal that Scherzer's got after his age 30 season. A bunch of people from the national side of things did not want to sign him after he had his prime in Detroit and came to the Nationals, had a good run, and then now he's getting another contract. It's pretty rare.
Yeah, he's a beast.
Pretty impressive.
But if you're the Mets, I mean, I guess it gets you excited. You're throwing out some cash, but I'd be a little nervous.
Speaking of guys that just seem like they always get deals, going to the NBA, Boogie Cousins, he's back.
He's been
signed with the Bucks. Just keep signing with these contenders and giving it a run. Why not?
He's been getting by on just these 1-year rental deals for the last 5 years. Just
does he have a, he doesn't have a ring, though, does he? Did he hop on a team with a ring?
Did he get a ring with the Lakers or not?
Or Warriors?
Ooh, Warriors.
Because he was with the Warriors for a
while. He was on the Warriors team that got beat, though, by the Raptors. And that's, I think that was the only year he was there.
Because I feel like isn't the whole narrative is like he, every team he joins, these championship contenders, he never wins it. I feel like that's happened.
Where was he at last year? Was he with?
Clippers?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he was with the Clippers, last year. Yeah.
The Clippers last year. He had all these guys championship.
I'm pretty sure he doesn't.
Last year, he was with Golden State 2018-2019.
Yeah, I thought he was with the Clippers in the for 2 years.
And then, I mean, that's pretty much that's pretty much it.
Yeah, he doesn't have a ring. Four-time All Star, or he's on the rookie team, and like he hasn't done anything, really.
Still chasing it. No better way to get a ring than join the defending champs, I guess. So. He signed with the Bucks, and then Golden State Warriors, man, are 18-2.
They're good,
John,
man.
That's the best 20-game start by any team since the 2015-2016 Golden State Warriors, who started 20-0 and, of course, won the most games ever in a regular season in the NBA. So, yeah, they are red hot again, and, of course, Klay going to be coming back probably by the end of this month.
Our three headlines were brought to you by promotion we're doing here at the station, partnering up with National RX. Toys for Tots. We're doing a toy drive.
Nice.
Toy drive all day at National RX on Kingston Pike in Farragut. We're doing it this Friday. The drive will be on location live from 3 to 6 p.m. Help make Christmas special for area kids in need. Bring in toys for both boys and girls. National RX is Farragut's neighborhood community pharmacy, locally owned and operated. Veteran owned and operated. Christmas time is now here, so spread some cheer with us on Friday with our toy drive partnered with National RX. Cam Sinister Breakers Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Does your company have vehicles that you want to turn into rolling?
Back on the program, college football championship weekend is set. Georgia, 6-point favorites over Alabama.
It moved up.
Yep. 6-point favorites. What do you think? Too low?
Georgia will kill them. Alabama's overrated. Why do we keep thinking Alabama's good?
I think they're not that good, man.
Can we face it that they're not that good?
I think they have the same, like, similar mental block that we have against Florida, against Alabama. So I think it's going to be a close game, just off of that.
Maybe, but really. Like,
well, they've lost six in a row, I think, against them.
I just, like, Alabama, I don't know if they can score on this defense, man. Like, I get Auburn's defense isn't terrible, whatever, but
yeah,
that wasn't bad.
That wasn't a good look for the possibility of that.
I mean, they were going into the fourth quarter with no points. They got shut out for three quarters.
Yeah.
But they gutted it out. They won.
I know,
they done did it.
You got to admit, man, seeing that video of Nick and Terry afterwards gives you hope, you know? Gives you hope. It's real love.
Does.
See how happy she was.
She was so excited.
You see how happy he was to see her, too, though?
The biggest grin on his face. I think the biggest grin I've ever seen on that guy's face. Literally.
I got goosebumps just talking about it. Just seeing how they still light each other's worlds up, man. Go home and be a family man. Actually, you know what? I would say go home and be a family man, but I think Terry wants him just to keep coaching.
She does.
She's happy that he's happy.
Yeah.
She really is, yeah.
I don't think she needs him home to be happy. I think she knows that the best version of Nick is there winning games, and she wants to be there supporting him. What a woman.
Yeah.
What a woman.
It's up to 6.5 now. How excited she
didn't Nick have something like quote like that about like basically a – if he ever was going to have to cheat on Terry, it better be like Hillary Clinton or something like that. Like basically, you can't cheat down or something.
Yeah.
Say like I got too much to lose. Like if I'm going to cheat, it's got to be with someone like Hillary.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay, Nick.
Basically, like, I can't get caught up running around these women. Could have to be a real move. What a scene. I think so. Cam, it sounds like you think Alabama's going to win.
I have been that all on that all year, but I don't know. They have looked rough in some recent games, and I think I'm going to back off that a little bit, but I do still think it's going to be a close game.
This will be the biggest underdogs that Alabama has been since 2009's SEC championship against Florida, when the torch was not only passed, it was ripped from the hands of Urban Meyer and Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
As Alabama beat the hell out of Tim Tebow and had him crying on the sidelines as Alabama, I believe, were 10-point underdogs, dominated that game.
Yep.
And, you know, of course, the rest is history and misery if you are a Tennessee fan.
Yep. Yeah, I think they got some sort of mental block there. And I think Alabama, I think Saban's a better coach than Kirby. And I think Alabama's going to take it personally, but they're underdogs. And I think they're going to go in motivated. And I think that's going to work in their favor. I think Georgia's going to go in kind of like, okay, we're back doing this again. We can't blow it this time. Like, I think that's always going to be in the back of their minds.
How good is this Alabama team, though? Like, compared to years in the past?
I mean, yeah, it's not like
they're not even close to last
it's
year.
It's not
I
one
just
of
don't think they're at the
ones,
same level
yeah.
as Georgia, man. I think Georgia's at a different level. I really do.
They should be. They should be. But like I said, Alabama should have been at a different level than Auburn. And, you know, not the same thing, obviously, but I think it happens in these kind of games where you got a team that's kind of playing just like, okay, you think you're ruling us out completely. We played with this team before. We can do it again. I think that's kind of how Alabama's going to go into the game.
Talked about a passing of the torch. That Alabama team wasn't – I mean, it's basically – Kirby's been there more years than Saban would have been at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still a moment where you realize, okay, the torch has been passed. Could this be a similar moment?
Yeah, yeah. If Kirby goes out and, like you said, he dominates or even, I think, just wins this game is a huge step in the right direction for them.
I think winning a close game sure would be a step in the right direction, but I don't think it's the same statement.
Mm-hmm. No, that's fair.
They were to just absolutely blow the doors off Alabama and physically dominate them like Draven thinks is going to happen.
Yeah. That's exactly it. This Bama team, by the way, inability to run the football is kind of huge for them. Like we talked about them last year.
Yeah.
Everybody talks about Devontae Smith and all the explosiveness, receivers, you know, Waddle, all that. They could still run the football like really well with Najee Harris. That was a big reason why they were so good too. They can't really run the football that well. Auburn, they couldn't really run the football. It was a lot of just Bryce Young, just dropbacks, him having to throw it into tight coverage. The tight coverage play was a fourth down, third down, backed up in his own goal line. The touchdown to tie the game up was a receiver completely covered, just a great catch. That's my concern. Like, Georgia, if you can't at least run the football just a smidge, just a little bit against Georgia, and you just have these defensive linemen just going after the quarterback, just ears pinned, it's over. It's over. Yeah. And I think that's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, go ahead.
I would say they are banged up in the running back department right now, Alabama is. I think they're using their second, third string guy this past weekend. And
I mean, Georgia hasn't played a close game all year either.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if – I guess the Clemson game was close week one, but like
– which still was baffling if you get to once you get to this point of the season.
Right. Oh, no, Clemson's defense held up all year. I mean, Clemson's defense still was top three in terms of points allowed, I'm pretty sure. So, like,
yeah.
Their defense held up.
Still, though, no offensive touchdowns. Sure. Just a field goal is kind of, you know, looking at it now. And people were talking about that's the, you know, the weakness of that Georgia team is the offense and play the legit defense then. But, you know, outside of that, they've been pretty fine offensively, at least efficient enough to get down the field. So a little bit of a head scratcher.
Of the conference championship games, Georgia, Alabama, I guess, has to be the biggest one, right? Just because it's one versus three.
And it's
of the other ones, which one are you most intrigued by? You got Pittsburgh, Wake Forest. My God.
I think that would just be a fun high-scoring game. Like it doesn't really do anything in the grand scheme.
Well, over-under is set at 72.5. You got Houston-Cincinnati, which I guess could be a playoff spoiler.
Yeah, no, that's a big one.
How good is Houston?
11-1.
They're pretty solid. They're pretty good.
And their
only losses, the
first loss of the season, right? Didn't they lose to Texas Tech to open up?
Yeah,
the
and they like blew a big lead too. Like they were dominating that game. Houston's been pretty good.
Baylor, Oklahoma State.
I think it'll be a good one too. I think Oklahoma State's a little different though than Baylor.
Oklahoma State 5-point favorites.
What's the
big for Oklahoma State?
46.5.
It's big for Oklahoma State. You're still borderline, fighting for the playoffs. So
can they?
You'd have to have Cincinnati lose. You'd have to have Michigan lose. You'd have to have two teams lose, and really Alabama too. So you need three teams to lose.
Yeah.
I guess you can't say there's no chance, but
I mean, I think if they beat Baylor, I think they jump Notre Dame.
just off the fact that Notre Dame hasn't done anything, you know?
Notre Dame's best win is Wisconsin.
Yeah, like.
If Wisconsin wins this weekend, that'll help them. And more ways.
Wisconsin's not in there.
Playing. Yeah, Wisconsin. Yeah, never mind.
So it's Iowa. Iowa snuck in with Wisconsin blowing it to Minnesota. But
sorry, they choked.
Yeah, no, Notre Dame, I think, would get jumped by Oklahoma State. So I think if Alabama lost, they would have a shot, like an outside shot.
Alabama is in no matter what. I hate people who are if Alabama lose, even if they lose to Georgia, they are in.
I don't know, man.
They are in.
I don't know at this point.
They are in.
With their couple close
wins,
Alabama's
in?
I don't think they are.
Even if they lose the SEC championship game, they are in.
I don't think
they
are.
Who are you putting in front of them? Oklahoma
State?
They're going to be at 3. Beat nobody?
They just beat like top 15 teams.
Michigan's going to be in the playoffs no matter what, as long as they win.
Yeah, well, so
I think the four teams will be, Michigan, Georgia, Bama, and then probably Cincinnati. There you go. There's your four teams.
If Alabama loses to Georgia, they're going to be in the 3 spot when the rankings come out. It's going to be Georgia, Michigan, Alabama, Cincinnati. If they lose, they're going to move Cincinnati up, and then it's either going to be Evan. I think Oklahoma State, if they win, jump up to that 4 spot.
They would not jump
out. I think they jump to that 4 spot.
They would not jump Alabama.
I think they do. I mean, they're being a top 10 team. They're being the number 8 team in the country after beating Oklahoma. They only have one loss. I think they jump Notre Dame and Alabama.
In your scenario, does Oklahoma State have to lose to Baylor? Because if Oklahoma State beats Baylor, they're going to jump Alabama.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I think it's a guarantee.
Oklahoma State's been disrespected all year, man.
Especially if you go out and Georgia blows out Alabama like you think they're going to do. Oklahoma State's definitely jumping Alabama.
Now you can argue about whether or not they should.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think this is a dominant Alabama team.
Unless Alabama just gets absolutely just killed Saturday, I mean, just gets absolutely dominated, if they lose a really close game, field goal, touchdown game, to the best team in the nation, I just don't think you could drop multiple spots because of that. And you have Oklahoma State beating Baylor. It's like, okay, well,
I think then at that point you start weighing in, like, the fact that they have 2 losses and the other losses to A&M,
lost A&M losing to LSU did not help.
Isn't the whole thing about the Big 12, Oklahoma, Texas trying to join the SEC is because of this right here? Because I feel like we've had situations like this in the past. The SEC team gets in.
But usually, you don't get a top 10 Baylor team in the Big 12. Usually, you don't also beat Oklahoma if you're Oklahoma
State.
That's
absolutely true. You have at least a couple.
I mean,
teams
not consistently, where they're like a top 10 team where you're like, okay, that's a good win. Like, okay, yeah, like Iowa State or somebody will be like 15, but you're not going in there and getting, you know, 2 or 3 top 10 wins in a row.
And usually the team, either if they have 2 losses, one of their losses isn't to someone like Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Or they have had 1 loss, you know, like when Ohio State lost to Virginia Tech, then ran the table the rest of the way. Like, I do think if everyone else wins, it'll be tough for Alabama to get in with a loss. Mm-hmm. Now, if Oklahoma State loses, if Michigan loses, then sure. If Cincinnati struggles, sure. But I think it'll be tough for Alabama just because they haven't been overwhelming. Like, they won by 1 point against Florida. They lost to Texas A&M. They barely beat Auburn.
If they get in and Oklahoma State wins, it's SEC bias for sure at that point.
People would definitely lose.
I think Oklahoma State's resume would be good enough with 1 loss, I think, to beat that Alabama team out, you would think.
I'll be interested to see where the college ranking actually puts these guys because the AP poll came out. They have Alabama at 4, Oklahoma State number 5.
Really? Who's at 3?
Cincinnati.
So, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, see, I think the playoff ranking is going to be Georgia, Michigan, Alabama, Cincinnati, and then I think it's going to be
Oklahoma State at 5?
It could be Oklahoma State. They may have jumped Notre Dame at this point. And if they did, then they're definitely getting in over a 2-loss Bama.
If Notre Dame gets in the playoffs, I'm not watching.
They shouldn't.
I'm not watching.
Because unless Cincinnati loses, because there's no way you could put them in over Cincinnati if Cincinnati went into their stadium and beat them.
They just have to have chaos.
By the way, what the hell is Notre Dame doing with this schedule? I get it. They do these schedules 35 years in advance. They set these schedules 10 years in advance for some unknown reason. That's just absolutely the worst thing in college football. But, like, this is the weakest schedule they've had in a long time, is it not? I know, like, it's not their fault. USC's terrible.
Yeah, I would say it's kind of
all these other teams are terrible. But, my goodness, man, just stay in the ACC if you're going to play a schedule like this.
Yeah, you know, it didn't end up great this year, but.
Let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, it's Monday. It's 2:30-ish. Let's play some winners and losers of the weekend. Cam, hit the music.
Winners and losers. Winners and losers. Winners and losers. losers. Winners and losers.
Cam, who won this weekend?
All right, my number three winner of the weekend, I gave it to the coaching carousel. Obviously, coaching's movement all over the place. If you love the coaching searches, you are in heaven right now. You got tons of stuff going on, tons of stuff to keep up with. Coaches moving all over the place. It's fun if you love that kind of stuff. So they are my number three winner of the weekend. Number two, I gave it to the Packers. I think that was a big win for them to kind of establish themselves as arguably the top team in the NFC, which I think they are. You know, Cardinals with a bye, so they're going to be on the afterthoughts a little bit. But I think the Packers went out, got the job done, and I think they are on a mission this year. And my number one winner of the weekend, mainly Michigan, but I'm going to give it to the teams that ended some streaks. Michigan obviously beating Ohio State for the first time since 2011. Oklahoma State beating Oklahoma in Bedlam for the first time since 2014. You even give it to Washington State beating Washington for the first time since 2012. Lots of good streaks ended this week in rivalry weekend, but obviously Michigan was the most notable. Big for Harbaugh. Big for Harbaugh. But that makes Michigan my number one winner of the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, that was... That was a pretty cool game.
May get in the playoffs now and everything, yeah.
The snow, the way the team was fighting and acting as if they were the tough guys. I saw them, you know, in the locker room at halftime, in the hallways yelling at each other. There was a play that went viral where the Michigan guys getting stood over by an Ohio State player, then all the offensive linemen just run over there getting in their face, woofing. They went in there thinking they were the tougher team, and they proved it on the field. My winners of the weekend, I feel like this team's been on here a couple times. This city's been on here a couple times. I gave it to Cincinnati.
Okay.
Seems like it's clearing off for them to make the playoff in college football and then in the NFL. I mean,
Bengals. Bengal beatdown.
It's a pretty exciting core they got right there growing right now you know.
Mixon's been really good. I think that's been one of the most underrated guys this year. Mixon's been phenomenal for them this year.
They beat down the Steelers. That had to feel good after, you know, the last decade and a half of the going up against Pittsburgh. Really,
I think it was their first time sweeping them in like, it's gonna be a long time.
I mean,
so yeah.
I mean, really, since the '90s. I mean, since I started watching the NFL football. I mean, ever since I was really cognitive of what was going on, like in '96, '97, the Bengals have been pretty much trashed or at least owned by Pittsburgh one way or the other. So, gotta feel good for them, especially when you combine it with. Baker Mayfield looks dead. Lamar Jackson looks not
Beatable.
Very good. That division feels like
it's
wide open.
Still up for grabs.
Number two, I gave it to Max Scherzer. Man, last year, at the end of the year, as they're getting eliminated in the playoffs, he's like, hey, my arm is dead. I am tired. I need rest. And then Stephen Cohen, the owner of the Mets, is like, hey, yes, I know your arm isn't very good and you are 38 years old, but here is $43 million a year. Which, by the way, he also apparently deferred some of his payment with the Washington Nationals. You know how you get the Bobby Bonilla stuff. So like Max Scherzer apparently is going to be making like an extra $15 million a year just from the Nationals coming up here soon. So he's going to be really really getting paid. Max Scherzer, my second biggest friend of the weekend. Number one, you got to go with Big Blue, or I guess Blue, not Big Blue, just Blue. Michigan, got to feel good. We laid it out. You beat up your bully.
Some news for you, Draven. Taysom looks like he may get the start this week.
I saw that. Taysom Hill getting first team reps.
Yeah, I mean we've seen enough of Trevor Siemian.
Yep.
You gotta do something, especially if you're gonna keep Taysom Hill around and pay him money. You gotta see what he can do. So let's ride Taysom. Does that change your nervous level?
Nah, not really.
Just a gimmick offense, though.
Yeah, I could see him running around all over us, honestly. I can kind of picture that right now. But
oof, man, if you –
running it right down our throats. Low-scoring game, offense struggling still,
Cowboys, on the road, tough atmosphere. Cowboys were 6-1, right?
Yep.
You're riding high. Was that after the Patriots game, too, they were 6-1?
No, it was after the Vikings game, which was maybe even better.
Oh,
winning with a backup quarterback and thinking the culture has completely changed. And now McCarthy's not even going to coach in the next game.
What about you, buddy? Back-to-back losses. I don't want to hear anything.
We're banged up.
We're banged up.
Yeah, but we're going to the bye week. We're getting healthy.
Yeah, we're going into the most important stretch of the season.
Yeah, we're fine. We got three.
Great.
We still have a three-game lead in the division. I don't know if you can say the same anymore. What's yours down to? I guess, man.
Two and a half.
Yeah, you're really lucky the Eagles lost yesterday.
Really, though. It was a break.
Yeah. Okay. Same as the Colts, though. Same as the Colts. I feel okay, though.
I feel okay.
I don't know if you do. Cam, who are your losers of the weekend?
All right, my number three loser of the weekend, I gave it to the top four preseason fantasy running backs. They are all banged up. Obviously, McCaffrey, on IR now. His season is done. Dalvin Cook also injured. Alvin Kamara's missed the last three games. Probably still questionable for this next one as well. And Derrick Henry also on IR. Just if you had one of those first four picks and you took one of those running backs, you are down bad as we're coming down the stretch for fantasy playoffs. Not a great weekend for y'all. Not a great weekend for those running backs in general. Oof, just bad, bad luck at the top end of the fantasy drafts this year, it seems like. Number two loser of the weekend.
You've seen the all five of the highest paid running backs in the NFL, all banged up.
Really?
All hurt.
Who's the fifth one?
I guess Zeke. Zeke. If Zeke misses time this week, because, I mean, McCaffrey out for the year. He makes $16 million a year. Mm. Kamara's been injured the last handful of weeks. He's out. Zeke makes $15 million a year. He's injured, although he's been playing through it. We'll see if they continue that up. Cook, 12.6, out. Derrick Henry, 12.5, out. Now, granted, the wide receivers haven't been much better because DeAndre Hopkins makes 27. He's out. Julio makes $22 million. He's been out all year. Pretty much, Keenan Allen makes 20. Cooper makes 20. Michael Thomas makes 19. So, you know, basically.
So Keenan Allen kind of the best out of that because he's just been playing?
Yep. Eight of the 10 highest paid skill position players. Not doing very well.
Jeez, y'all should really just go, you know, just go get a Cordarrelle Patterson that can play both and for
that's
cheap.
A good point,
you know?
That's why you don't spend money on these talented positions. You just keep drafting guys and keep replacing. Draft and replace. Draft and replace.
Yeah, I don't know if me and you can say that because we have two guys on this list. we have Cooper. You have Cooper and Zeke, and I have Julio and Henry. So like, I don't know if we can say this.
My number two loser of the
weekend.
It's really
amazing we've been doing as well as we have as Titans. I mean, because Julio and Kenner ain't played in a long time. Anyways.
My number two loser of the weekend, I gave it to the Pac-12. Another year, but you're not going to make the playoff. Another year. And, you know, obviously coming out of this weekend, Oregon was their last chance a couple weeks ago. Nothing changed enough to give any of them a semblance of a shot. Pac-12 is going to miss out again. Their championship game basically means nothing outside of bowl positioning and maybe Oregon trying to get some revenge on Utah. Pac-12. Back to just being what they are. They threatened for a while, but again, didn't make
Lincoln
it.
Lincoln Riley's
again.
Bringing Pac-12 back. He's bringing it back, okay? They'll be back on the map.
That's what they think. That's what they think. And that brings me to my number one loser of the weekend, Oklahoma fans. Because, your coach is just leaving you, and then you're having meltdowns online and everything this weekend. It's just been, it was a surprise, I think, for a lot of people. Kind of shocking that he would take that kind of. I mean, lateral move at best, you say? I don't think it's necessarily an upgrade, per se. But, a little shocking for that fan base. So that fan base is down bad right now. So they are my number one losers of the weekend.
All right. My losers of the weekend, number three, I went with UC Davis basketball.
Oh, that's a good one. Oh, that's a good one.
Academy of Art.
They that's lost to the Academy of Art. The that's Academy great. Of Art University Urban Knights, a Division II for-profit art school from San Francisco whose jerseys say Art U. It is their first D1 win ever. They beat UC Davis. They blew them out, too. They pounded them.
Like 20 points, wasn't it? Just
They pounded them. 79-60.
If you're UC Davis, where do you go from there? If you're a basketball team that just lost.
I mean, they're usually a pretty decent program is the crazy
part. If I was on that team, I'd probably just, like, quit. Wouldn't you just like, what am I doing, man? Maybe I just worry more about my education at this point. We're losing to an art school. Gosh.
Yeah. They're the third biggest losers of the weekend. Maybe even ranked a little too low. Number two, I went with the Denver Nuggets and Michael Porter Jr. Mm. He had to have another back surgery. Not good as they are shutting him down. What number are we up to? I mean, it's at least his third back surgery, right?
I would say so, yeah.
They've been very careful with him. He showed just enough. They gave him a big 5 years, $158 million extension. He got paid.
Why would you do that, knowing he's had back issues? I mean, he missed his whole college career almost because of it.
He was just good enough to get the money, for just long enough to get the money. And that's, I mean, Denver, I don't know if I would necessarily consider them a small market team. You know, Denver's pretty big, but they're not really a team that you think of with lavish spending. And as someone who has, they're franchise player in the prime of his career, kind of tough to saddle him down with, basically wasted money. Who knows if Michael Porter Jr. has ever.
They've kind of struggled this year, too, haven't they?
Well, yeah, because he's been out all year, as has Jamal Murray. Like, it's been Jokic out there kind of by himself. Like, it's tough.
Yep.
They're the second biggest loser of the weekend. Number one, there's no question who the biggest loser of the weekend is. It's Oklahoma.
Yep.
Not only do you lose your rival, you lose your coach, you lose your recruiting class, you now lose your self-worth, your identity. Like, how do you feel if you're Oklahoma. You feel lost. You feel scared. You feel alone. You're nervous. You're terrified.
We've been there before.
It hasn't gone well for us, though, Cam. We have been there before. It didn't go well for us.
Well, if they need advice with coping, hit us up.
I don't know if they need advice from you from coping. Yours is just going to be drink.
Yeah, that was going to be my advice.
Yeah. Last call on the other side is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Last call today is brought to you by the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, they want to help you get the money, the compensation that you deserve. At G3, you matter most. Visit G3HelpMe.com or call them at 865-401-8214 to get help now. That's G3HelpMe.com. Once again, G3HelpMe.com. Draven, you said you got a story. We'll let you start. Let you start today.
Let's do it. Heck yeah. Word this. College athlete gets this major NIL deal.
Giving these out late in the season?
Apparently. Because you've heard of her. Maybe we said, maybe gets the biggest NIL deals out there. UConn star Paige Buchers.
Okay.
Signed a multi-year NIL deal with?
I haven't seen this. I have no clue.
I don't know either.
Gatorade.
Oh, wow.
First ever NCAA athlete to sign with Gatorade.
That is pretty big.
That's, yeah. Okay. Pretty impressive. She won the 2020 Gatorade High School Player of the Year Award. I don't know if that has anything to do with this deal.
Probably didn't hurt.
Gatorade, yeah. Yeah. Had some sort of association with her, guys. I don't know. But, yep, first ever to sign with Gatorade. How about that?
Wow.
Women are cashing in, man.
It doesn't say how much she's getting, right?
No. Not seeing any details on that, but I know it's a multi-year deal.
I wonder how do you feel if you are, you know, another school? It seems like this is a big advantage for a national company to be, you know, helping UConn with. I mean, Gatorade like Nike?
Of sports drinks, yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, do they like sponsor schools the same way that?
I think they used to have a Powerade bottles on the sidelines or Gatorade bottles. I think there is a difference. I think you can kind of get rights to that.
So, like, Gatorade has other schools is what I'm getting at, kind of like Nike and Adidas and everything?
I think so. At least it used to be that way. I used to remember seeing different schools having different water bottles. I haven't really, I guess, paid a lot of attention to it lately, but.
I mean, good for Paige, I guess.
Yeah. Are you surprised?
No, I mean,
yeah,
she's
the first one to sign with Gatorade. Is that a little surprising?
I mean, we knew she had a big pull when we discussed, you know, the social media followers and worth, and she's the biggest women's basketball star. Now, you could argue about whether or not the women's basketball star is big as, you know, a football star or a, you know, men's basketball star.
It's not even
star,
about that, though. It's just the reach of her social media and stuff, and the women are cashing in on that.
But then again, though, Cam, like, no offense to her, but again, it's just college football gets watched more. Best player in college football, which I guess there isn't a best player.
But I mean, if you're looking at a guy playing college football, you don't really know his face super well with his helmet and stuff running around compared to you just see your Instagram post.
They're also not allowed to like promote it during their games and stuff. Yeah. I haven't heard anybody do that after the post game yet. Like, get interviewed on the sideline. I want to give a shout out to Gatorade for helping fuel me to make this possible. Going full Ricky Bobby out there. But
thank goodness I had Bojangles beforehand. Yeah. Shout out to them.
Yeah, I mean, like, I haven't seen if that's happened, but.
Yeah.
I don't know. At the same time, I don't know how many people are going to be out there drinking Gatorade because Paige Buchers is sponsored by them, although I don't know how much that it's ever really mattered. I don't know.
I'm sure she's getting some good money, though.
Sure.
Imagine the money she's probably getting. I mean, I would say it makes her one of the, if not the highest paid athlete from the NIL deal, just based on this deal.
You would think so.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I guess Gatorade could theoretically... I guess, you know, theoretically could, you know, not be giving her a lot of money, just giving her more exposure and helping her down the road. I don't know.
930,000 followers. Is that, I mean, that's.
That's a lot.
That's a lot compared to most college athletes.
I
don't know the followers.
I mean, I would say it's
ratio.
Close to the most in terms of
it's gotta be
athletes.
It's
I mean,
especially if you combined all her social media.
I mean, look up Chet Holmgren's.
I'd say you gotta look up the other girls. Like, I honestly think those Fresno State girls may have more followers.
Sure.
Chet Holmgren has 337,000.
Yeah, no, the girls are way
Paolo
too stuck.
You gonna check his out?
I would say he might have a little bit more.
When we checked out Kenny Chandler, wasn't he like only like at 60,000 or something crazy like that?
Yeah, no, the guys aren't juiced as much.
Only 171,000. Yeah. Chet has more.
The girls get a lot more followers. It's insane. And that's why they have more value in this kind of stuff.
But some of them, I get it because, like, you know, some of the girls, you're buying the sex appeal. But, like, I don't know, is Paige, is she selling herself off in that same regard?
Probably not the same way, like, picture-wise, but, yeah. I mean, I know people that are like, oh, yeah, she's, you know, decent-looking, but so, I don't know.
Well, ask me, like, with those twins. Both those twins are very attractive.
Yeah, and they sell it, too, like that. I don't, like you said, I don't know if she's doing
every time I've seen Paige, she's just wearing sweats and, like, just a hooper.
Yeah.
Either way.
Good for her. She'll be in a Gatorade commercial in no time.
Will she? I guess we had Dr. Pepper with DJ, but I still haven't seen him in any commercials. Which
well, I saw him in one. I saw him in one, and it was like very brief.
He doesn't say anything, bro, right? Isn't he just like kind of holding the can with a?
Yeah, you know, he may have said something, but it was quick, and they stopped showing it. I think pretty quickly.
Okay, well, good show by you guys today. The Drive is up next. Stay locked in on Fan Run Radio.